and choosing the Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Egypt and Liverpool football star Mohamed Salah is leading the English Premier League in scoring and setting new standards for African players. So far this season, Mo Salah has a league-leading 10 goals, three more than second place Jamie Vardy of Leicester City and England. And the 29-year-old Salah currently has 107 career Premier League goals, the most by an African player. His performances for the Reds of Liverpool, as well as for the Pharaohs of Egypt, have helped him win two African Footballer of the Year awards. For reaction to Salah's exploits, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the 1994 African Footballer of the Year, Emmanuel Amunike.
Mo Salah, over the years, has been able to establish himself, and scoring a lot of goals is not new to a lot of people. I think he has been able to, you know, to demonstrate that he's one of the best and a standing player at the moment. So I think I'm happy. I'm happy for him. I think what a striker lives on is on scoring goals. And if you can continue to score those goals week in, week out, I think that specially make you, to look special and look different in terms of your football career. And I'm happy that, he is scoring the goal. And I think Mo Salah is an example to a lot of young players, growing up.
Do you see Mohamed Salah as a role model for other African players in Europe?
Mo Salah is a living legend, and Mo Salah is a special one. Why do I say that he's a special one? When we track back his record, when we track back his beginning, this is someone that was signed by Chelsea and under Mourinho, and he was not even given that much opportunity. And he has to, go to Rome to establish himself in Roma. And I think, it's a question of being patient. It's a question of believing in your dream. It's a question of, believing in yourselves. And I think that is exactly what Mo Salah represents. A lot of players, would have, be discouraged through the process of what they went through. But he was able, he stood firm, and he was able, to distinguish himself. And I think I'm happy for him. I'm happy that, he's doing great, and I'm happy that he's an example. And I think this is someone that a lot of young players, those that are playing today, need to look onto, bearing it in mind that in football, there will be a moment of challenges, and it all depends on your spirit, and it all depends on your ability, and it all depends on your capacity, to withstand and accept that moment and work towards to progressive. And that is exactly what Mo Salah stands for, and I'm happy for him.
What's your assessment of some African players like Victor Osimhen of Napoli, Sadio Mane of Liverpool, and Riyad Mahrez of Manchester City in their various clubs?
These players you mentioned about, like Mahrez, like Mane, these players have established. Victor Osimhen is a young player. He's the future. He's coming on board. I'm happy that, I was able to train him from the youth level under 17 to under 20 before he moved to European League. But I'm happy that, Victor is coming. I'm happy that he's doing very well with Napoli this season. The process of adaptation, that is what He went through the first time he went to Napoli, and today he has been consolidated and he's doing very well. Well, when you talk about Manresa, you talk about Sadio Mane, well, those players are special also. And the good thing is that all these players you talk about, they are doing very well in their respective clubs, and they are all from Africa. I think these are the kind of inspirations we Africans needed from when it comes to our football. And I'm happy that, you know, we can boast about our players playing in Europe. We can boast about our players that are doing very well in their respective clubs. And I think this is very good for African football. And I hope the same can be translated when it comes to world competition in engagement, where we can, we African can easily, you know, make the best out of the quality of the talent and the players that we have, and to be able to establish ourselves. Just like what we did during the Olympic time. Nobody gave the Africans opportunity of winning the Olympic, but in 1996, Nigeria were able to establish that, and then came on Cameroon to establish that. This is where people start to realize that Africa has a lot of talent. And I think these players you have mentioned, you know, they are an inspiration to the young one. Victor Osimhen, I like him for something. He is somebody that is hungry. He is somebody that doesn't have scared. He is somebody that wants to achieve something. And I like his spirit, and you can actually see that when he is playing. And I think it's a very good way, and it's a very good one for African football, and a very good one for the young generation, looking onto these players that they are doing very well in their respective clubs.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year and the former coach of Tanzania's national men's team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Santander, Spain.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amunike, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
In more African football news, Nigeria has recalled veteran striker Odion Ighalo for this month's World Cup qualifying matches against Liberia and Cape Verde. The 32-year-old Ighalo is based in Saudi Arabia with the club Al Shabab. He retired from international football after the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. On Monday's show, Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria, described the inclusion of Ighalo as ludicrous and said it was an insult to the current batch of Nigerian players. But Odion Ighalo was one of 24 players named by Nigeria's German manager, Gernot Rohr, for the qualifiers. Nigeria will play Liberia on November 13th in Morocco, and then host Cape Verde on November 16th in Lagos. The Super Eagles of Nigeria currently lead Group C in African World Cup qualifying with 9 points from 4 matches, 2 points more than Cape Verde. The group winner advances to a 10-team African playoff round in March 2022.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a Devil Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross-country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K.
And let's also add Olympic champion to Joshua Cheptegei's athletic resume. Joshua won Olympic gold at 5,000 meters, as well as Olympic silver at 10,000 meters at this year's Tokyo Games. As a result, Cheptegei is one of the nominees for the 2021 World Athletics Male Athlete of the Year Award. Ugandans celebrated Joshua Cheptegei's Olympic title, as we hear now from Magume Davis Rakawinj in this 2021 Sunny Side of Sports highlight. Sporty Tuesday greetings, Magume!
Sporty Tuesday greetings due to Sunny and our listeners.
Cheptegei leads. It's Kimeli in second for Kenya and Paul Chelimo. ready to pounce. Cheptegei has 110 metres to claim history for Uganda. He's pulling away. Can he do it? Can he keep it going? Watch for the Canadian. He's closing, but not quickly enough. The world record holder becomes the Olympic champion. Joshua Cheptegei secures the gold he has craved for years. So many runs, so many thousands of kilometres. And after the near miss in the 10,000 metres, he's done it. He's climbed the mountain. Uganda's first champion over 5,000 metres. He's done it with his compatriot. He's done it with heart. He's done it with passion. And he's proven that as a world record holder, he can come and deliver under pressure when the times are irrelevant. What a night it's going to be in Uganda. Cheptegei has taken one of the ultimate crowns.
Indeed, there were jubilations in Kampala after Uganda's long-distance runner, Joshua Cheptegei, won his first gold at the Olympics. And he was visibly emotional after clocking 12 minutes and 58.15 seconds to win the 5,000 meters race in Tokyo, Japan, ahead of Canada's Ahmed Mohamed and American Paul Chelimo. The 5,000 meters win came after settling for silver in his favorite race, the 10,000 meters category. By winning two medals at the Olympics, the 10,000 meters and 5,000 meters world champion established himself as Uganda's best athlete and said he was relieved.
I always want to become the best. And that's the right mindset that I want to tell Ugandans, always strive to become the best. And I believed in myself, I was able to fight the confidence back. And when I was leading up to the 5K, I just knew the only way was just to go out, run my race and enjoy and be at peace. So to be at peace, I needed to be aggressive and, you know, tell myself that I can do it. And of course, thanks to the Ugandans that most of the Ugandans, I received so many messages on WhatsApp, on Twitter, and I could not respond to them because all of them are positive and I was saying, you are our man, we believe in you that you can do it. So that energy was really enough for me to win the gold. And when I crossed the finish line, I felt like I had never run, to be sincere with you. I just completed the race and I was not feeling any pains anywhere. The joy just overtook all the pains and, you know, all the worries, and I was now happy, and the setback of the silver was now gone, and I was headed for something great. Greatness now was just within me.
Cheptegei blamed bad weather and jet lag for failing to win gold in his favorite 10,000 meters category. But he praised his training partners, Stephen Chisa, who ran as pacemaker, and Jacob Kiplimo, the 10,000 meters Olympic bronze medalist, describing the tough race as, in two quotes, a battle they skillfully planned for.
You know, when you are going for a battle, when you are going for war, you don't know what your opponents are going to do. So for us, we are prepared in the best means ever, and we had worked as a team, because, you know, normally for us we always do a fast race, and by the time that the race is going to complete, nobody will be able to kick. But then this one, now we ran a slow race.
Jacob Kiplimo, the youngest ever Ugandan Olympian, when he ran the 5,000 meters heats in Rio as 15-year-old, posted a time of 27 minutes and 43.88 seconds to secure bronze at the Tokyo Games. Jacob says he's becoming a greater runner from each race he participates in.
It was my second time to be there in the Olympics. It was great. I think to me, this is not the beginning. I still have like 20 years from now again. We still have more things to come.
There were other elite male runners from Uganda, such as Ronald Musagara, competing in 1500 meters, and former Olympics marathon gold medalist Stephen Kiprotich, both failing to finish their races because of injuries. Overall, a combined 4 medals haul from the Uganda Olympics team pleased Uganda's president, Yoweri Kaguta Museveni. Speaking at the occasion to welcome the Olympics team, Mr. Museveni said Uganda's unique geographical features highly contributed to Uganda's success.
In terms of the physical features of our country, Uganda has these high mountains and also the plateau, what you would call the lowlands. Now, these communities, which live in the different areas, have different potentials. And really, Uganda can become a very big sports country, outcompete all these other people.
The president rewarded medalists with brand new vehicles and promised to support sports. Back to Joshua Cheptegei's heroics at the Olympics. Sports analyst Leonie Senyange tells the Sunny Side of Sports that by winning two medals at the Olympics, Joshua Cheptegei cemented his position not only as Uganda's best, but arguably the best long-distance runner ever in Africa.
An Olympic medal, gold, regardless of the distance he was running, is what was missing in his resume. Now he has it. I think the biggest catch would be the 10K medal in 2024 if he actually gets there. But yes, as it is now, Joshua Cheptegei is the greatest athlete Uganda has had, and potentially one of the greatest athletes, long-distance runners that the world has been able to produce.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinyi in Kampala, Uganda.
I am Mukundani Albert, an African poet. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And I'm pleased to report African poet Albert has this poem for us in honor of Ugandan Olympic champion Joshua Cheptegei.
Cheptegei, it finds the power. Suddenly, time seems to rush abnormally. I don't want to believe, yet I have to. It pinches on me to this a threat of the broader appeal. It dawns on me thinking of this speed champion, 12:58:15. Oh, the national icon of men, 5,000-meter race. The perfect inspiration for years to come. The gold medalist of 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. The brilliant mix of fantastic tempo. Who can stand by these challenges? The umbilical cord to link with other state actors. The wake-up call for Ugandan sports development. The interpreter of the power of Africa, the skilled profession for the rhythms of sports, who can stand by this challenge.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll explore the history and experiences of the African diaspora and how their connection to the continent has changed over generations. We'll also profile young Americans of African descent making their mark in U.S. politics. Join me, Heidi Adams, for the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Heidi. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. An update now on Ugandan Olympic champion Joshua Cheptegei. Joshua will compete in a 15-kilometer race in Nijmegen, the Netherlands, on November 21st. Cheptegei has won the Dutch race four times, most recently in 2018. It will be his first competition since the Olympic Games in Tokyo. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Morocco's 1984 Olympic champion Saïd Awita, who is celebrating his 62nd birthday on this Tuesday. Awita is the only athlete in history to win Olympic medals at both 800 meters and 5,000 meters. Saïd Awita won gold at 5,000 at the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics and a bronze at 800 meters at the 1988 Seoul Games. Happy birthday, Saïd Awita! I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Now let's go to Texas, where the Houston Astros will host the Atlanta Braves later Tuesday night in Game 6 of Major League Baseball's World Series. It's must-win for the Astros. They trail in the series 3-2. The AP's Dave Ferry joins us now with a preview.
Anyone could be a hero in the playoffs. Take Astros catcher Martin Maldonado, who was 4-for-41 in this postseason until Game 5 of the World Series. Maldonado drove in 3 runs in helping Houston stay alive, providing a sacrifice fly and an RBI grounder before hitting an RBI single. Astros manager Dusty Baker hopes to see more of that from his role players.
You wear your stars out and they can't do it all the time, and you have to have, you know, other guys on your team that you call upon, especially in a specialty, you know, situation.
Baker also would like to see Luis Garcia have a good game as he starts Game 6 against Max Fried. Garcia is the only Houston starter who hasn't allowed a homer in the series.
When it started, I was kind of nervous, but now I have confidence on myself and what I can do, and I feel better, like, since comparison from the beginning, I feel really good.
I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Meanwhile, ratings indicate more Americans are watching the World Series on television this year. The AP's Oscar Wells Gabriel reports.
Last year's World Series was played at a neutral site, appropriate because TV viewers seem not to care one way or the other. This year, though, it's different. With the Fall Classic back to its traditional format and with fans back in the stands in both cities, TV ratings are up. Case in point, Friday's Game 3, won by Atlanta. Nielsen reports it drew a 6.1 rating and more than 11 million viewers on Fox. Saturday's Game 4, also an Atlanta win, drew a 7.2 rating. And Sunday's contest, which saw Houston claw back from an early deficit, drew a 9.1 rating. With either of the next two games having the potential to clinch the series, viewership is expected to go even higher. I'm Oscar Wells Gabriel.
Thanks, Oscar. In National Basketball Association action Monday, DeMar DeRozan of the Chicago Bulls was the day's top scorer. Once again, here is the AP's Dave Ferry.
DeMar DeRozan poured in 37 points, and the Bulls rallied from 19 down in the second half to beat the Celtics 128-114.
Just seeing the fight, and which I knew from, you know, coming here that everybody on the team had that chip on their shoulder. It wasn't going to lay down for no reason. Shoulders tonight.
Zach LaVine scored 26 points and helped Chicago outscore Boston 39-11 in the fourth quarter. Nikola Vucevic had 11 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists for the 6-1 Bulls. Rookie Ayo Dosunmu got into the scoring mix with a season-high 14 points, including a trade that put Chicago up 106-105.
We know that at any given moment, you know, teams can go on runs and you can, you know, turn the game around fast. We believed in our offense. We knew what we were doing. We just wasn't moving the ball as well as we normally should do.
Jaylen Brown scored 28 for the Celtics, who have lost 3 in a row to fall to 2-5. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Now let's go to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the Philadelphia 76ers, playing without their injured Cameroonian star Joel Embiid, were victorious Monday night. The AP's Michael Luongo reports.
Missing two key players, the 76ers were able to pull away to a 113-103 win over the Trailblazers. Philadelphia took the lead with a 12-4 fourth quarter run. After Portland closed within three, Seth Curry scored 7 straight points, including a 3-point basket with 2:07 to play. Curry finished with 23 points for the Sixers, who were without Joel Embiid, who was resting a sore knee, and Tobias Harris, who was out due to health and safety protocol.
Try to be aggressive. Attack when I have the opportunities, and that's pretty much it. Just try not to put too much pressure on yourself to go out and play the same way.
Norman Powell at 22 for the Trailblazers. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. In American-style football, the Kansas City Chiefs edged the New York Giants by 3 points in the NFL's Monday night game. The AP's Greg Eklund reports from Kansas City, Missouri.
It didn't look pretty in the Kansas City Chiefs' 20-17 win over the New York Giants, but quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who's been struggling in recent weeks, directed a drive that led to the winning field goal. Mahomes threw one touchdown pass and one interception.
I know in this league it's kind of showing that it's kind of happened week after week these last few weeks, but I think we're going to snap out of it and we'll find a way to start executing, and then when we do, we'll be a tough offense to stop.
Harrison Butker connected on a 34-yard field goal attempt with 67 seconds left in the game to break the 17-17 deadlock. Giants quarterback Daniel Jones threw for two touchdowns in the loss. Greg Eklund, Kansas City.
Thanks, Greg. In European club football, the Swedish club Malmö is hosting Premier League leader Chelsea this evening in a UEFA Champions League match. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with a preview. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last month, Chelsea eased past Swedish club Malmö 4-0 in their first of two UEFA Champions League matches. And on the eve of their second fixture, Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel told reporters he feels confident his side can deliver another victory.
We are in a good place, but as I feel the group, and as I feel the group, I have the feeling that we know why we are in a good place. We know what it takes to have these kind of results, and we know what effort we put in it, and we know what we have to do for it. That makes us confident, and at the same time, it sets the standards that you need to set every single match that arrives, and it's coming again tomorrow. So we'll start from scratch. It's a Champions League away game, and we want to win. We want to win. We are self-confident enough to say it, but we know what it takes, and it's on us to deliver.
Chelsea are on a six-game winning streak since their loss to Juventus in September, and they hope to remain undefeated despite the absence of four key players on the pitch, including midfielder Mason Mount, who Thomas Tuchel says is still recovering from a non-COVID-related illness.
Yes, these four players are out, unfortunately. Still out, but also, yeah, for Timo, Romelu and Kovar, no surprise. For Mason, he does not feel really better. To stop any speculation, is not COVID. He's negative for COVID, so he's just ill and does not feel good enough to take part in training and, of course, take part in the trip to Malmö.
However, Tuchel confirmed American midfielder Christian Pulisic will make his long-awaited return to the pitch on Tuesday. It will mark Pulisic's first match of the season following an ankle injury he suffered during the international break. Chelsea are the reigning title holders in the Champions League. They hold a three-point lead in the Premier League and become a force to be reckoned with on the pitch under the watchful eye of Thomas Tuchel. Tuchel was brought in as head coach for the club at the start of the year after he was sacked from Paris Saint-Germain on Christmas Eve 2020. And Tuchel says that firing, along with his initial short-term contract at Chelsea, gave him the drive to accomplish some very big goals.
I was not happy to be sacked on Christmas. My mission was not fulfilled. I had big plans for the Champions League campaign again and to win the title in domestic title again and again. I was hungry and we were on the way. And this was a huge interruption, of course. And like I said, some days later, some weeks later, came a huge opportunity. And the desire to step into this adventure was much higher than the fear of and the concern about the 18 months, because it is what it is in football. You need to take the adventure. You need to be brave and courageous. And once you have the feeling, and I have the feeling, I got a big reward for this. Right now, I'm happy where I am. And I want to be better every single day and learn and grow. And it's a good environment to do this.
Chelsea trail leaders Juventus in the Champions League by 3 points in Group H. Meanwhile, Malmö are currently at the bottom of the group and are looking to seal their first win in the competition. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. And that wraps up the November 2nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.